WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back. Glad you're with us today on Living the Good Life. And Betty and Megan and Nan is here in the studio, are all with me. And it's always a joy to be with you. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Nan, Betty, and her daughter Megan up in Indiana. You know, Betty, as we launch out in faith in this ministry and have now 15 years of Beacon of Hope and 7 years in Indiana where I met you all and you were part of my church there in Cornerstone Ministries, you know, we just keep plugging along step by step, don't we? I mean, it's not, we can't see the journey ahead a lot of times. We can't see what stumbling blocks are coming. But it's a matter of being faithed up to overflowing and moving forward. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to follow him. And if we follow him, we're less likely to stumble. We're less likely when we're prayed up, we're faithed up, and, you know, to overflowing. It's like a deer panteth for the water. Our soul just longs after him. And it seems like the more that we long for him, the more our steps are guided. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be all rosy and happy. There are going to be times that we're going to be down in the valley and coming up the side of the mountain. But you know what? It makes it coming up a lot easier when you're following the Lord.
Oh, amen.
And, you know, we've been through a lot together over these past couple of decades. But you know what? It's because of the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
That keeps our
yes.
boat afloat, so to speak.
Keeps our boat afloat. Nan, do you want to weigh in here on some of this that we've been talking about today? We'll give you a second to collect your thoughts if you want to. Megan, before we get to this next song, it's one of our favorites. The title of it is Courageous by Casting Crowns. Don't you think it takes a lot of courage to be a dedicated soldier in the Army of the Lord in these days, Megan?
Yes, it does. It does, because, you know, there are times where some of my behavior, I'm sure, like I said before, has been looked upon as radical. And it's tough. But, you know, I've always been different, and I will always continue to be different.
Right. You're different. Yeah, you're different.
Yes,
I'm a little off.
Amen, sis.
Very different.
But, you know, I'd rather be crazy for the Lord than be crazy for anything else, so...
Well, you know, it is radical when you're saying, I want to be faithed up so that I can overflow. My life will overflow into the lives of other people. Nan, do you want to comment on this?
Well, the only thing I like to say, you know, sometimes I've been listening to a CD series this weekend about leadership. It's been an awesome series by Joyce Myers. And it's interesting, you know, as we go, we are all called to some sort of ministry in our little area of the world where we live. And you are a pastor, a teacher in the area where you are. I'm not neither one of those. I have other gifts and callings. But people need to be dedicated in whatever God has called them to. He will anoint it. He will bless it. But you have to keep the goal in your eyes on him and not on other people who have big ministries. You know, some people can get
exactly.
caught up in that.
Yes.
And I mean, and to hear... Joyce Myers speaking about some of the things and where they used to be and how she had faith to, you know, there were times her faith wavered as far as believing God for the money or whatever they needed. And there's a huge ministry now. She said, if I wouldn't have come through that and been able to have faith for that, mm-hmm. I could have faith for what I have now.
Right.
You know, and she goes, and it's just a continual thing. I have faith. God's given us faith, and we believe God. And I think it's what the listeners and everyone's listening to realize. They need to have faith for what God has called them to do.
Amen.
And just because they have, okay, God hasn't called me to be a preacher. That's okay with me. I mean, that's really okay with me. But that's okay. That's okay because that's not my calling.
Right.
And I'd like to encourage everyone listening, they do have a calling on their life.
Exactly.
If they don't know what that calling is, ask God.
Right.
He will let them know. He will call them. He will equip them. And he will use them for the betterment of the kingdom's sake. Because Jesus is getting ready to come.
Right.
We got to get on board and get ready because Jesus is getting ready to come.
Amen.
Woo, amen and amen. Listen to this song, and then we're going to talk more. We're in Matthew 9, and we're going to start with verse 18 in just a minute. courageous.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away.
That's God's desire for us. We were made to be courageous. I love that line that says, the only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Nan?
Poem entitled, Will You Move Forward? Will you move forward with this day? I can use you to do so much good for me. I have so much that I desire for you to do. Will you move forward in your ministry? You're a soldier in my holy army. You have a job to do for me. Look past the circumstances of your life. From the negativity, you'll be set free. You will be free to move forward in the method I desire for you. The decision is up to you right now. With this question, what will you do?
Oh, very good. I love those poems. It seems like so often God puts a question to us through these poems. Oh, my. Betty, do you want to comment on that? And then we're going to go to Matthew 9, verse 18.
I tell you, that hit me right between the eyes.
Yeah.
You know how this is probably when we visited Florida, and a good friend of ours played that song for us
right
a couple of times while we were there, Courageous.
Right.
And it makes us want to, we have a battle in our mind that sometimes goes on that,
yes,
you know,
we can't
do it.
Right.
But the heart says, yes, you can.
Right.
And to be courageous, you have to accept change.
Right. Amen.
You have to put fear behind you, and it's under your feet.
Yes.
Because you have the power. You said that at the beginning of the show, that you know the power that raised Christ Jesus from the
yes.
dead lives in us.
Amen.
And if we have the faith and we have that kind of power and we have the courageousness that the Lord wants us to have, we want to be radical
yes.
for Jesus. We want to be a little crazy
yeah.
for Jesus. It's time that we step out of our comfort zone, become courageous warriors for Christ, and be at the front line.
Be at the front line, yes.
Be at the front line and be able to stand firm and understand that God has got all of your problems, all of your concerns, and all of your worries.
Right.
He is in control.
Amen.
You know what, Pastor and Nan and Megan? When we give up that control and give it to him, it makes things a whole lot easier.
Better.
It takes an anvil off of our back, and that's
absolutely.
What he wants, and that's what he's trying to tell us through love and through compassion and mercy.
Right.
Is let him have control of your life and see how things change.
Oh, amen. Amen. And when you're really stepping out in faith, and that's what this series is about, increasing our faith so that we overflow into other people's lives, then your life really takes in on new purpose, new meaning, all of it. In Matthew 9:18, as he finished saying this, a local official appeared, bowed politely, and said, "My daughter has just now died. If you come and touch her, she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, his disciples following along. Verse 20, just then, okay, now Jesus is going to raise this man's daughter from the dead, and he gets interrupted. And in verse 20, just then a woman who had hemorrhaged for 12 years slipped in from behind and lightly touched his robe. You know, a lot of religious people would say, well, don't interrupt what God's doing right now. Let's don't have any interruptions, you know. Let's don't get Jesus sidetracked. Because this woman was thinking to herself, if I can just put a finger on his robe, I'll get well.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that, Megan.
Oh, you know, she had faith the size of a mustard seed. That all she wanted to do, all she knew she had to do, was to touch one finger on his robe and she would be healed. And, you know, we should never feel like that we're interrupting the Lord, even during that time, you know, because, you know, the Lord is always, always willing to touch those that need it.
Right.
And we all do at some point in our lives. We
oh,
need
yeah.
to touch from the Lord.
Right.
And it just takes that one step of faith to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and you will be healed. And that, it's so sad just to think that, you know, that people would say, well, how dare you interrupt, you know, he was on his way to heal that man's daughter. Well, the Lord didn't look at it that way. He looked at it as I had a chance to touch and heal another mm-hmm. person.
Well, absolutely. And Jesus turns around and says, courage, daughter. We just played that song, Courageous. You took a risk of faith, and now you're well. The woman was well from then on. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, I think that if you look at it from a standpoint, is that she did take a step of faith. She had to have enough courage to be able to break through. I'm sure there was a lot of people almost like a parade route that followed Jesus.
Yeah, I think so.
Wherever he went.
Yeah, yeah.
And she had to break through that crowd. She probably had to put fear aside. She had to say, okay, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And it took enough courage. It took enough faith for her to push. Now,
lost you. Say it again.
Are you there?
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm.
Oh, am I there? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm having some technical difficulties on my end.
Yeah.
Is that she had to push through, and that was push through her own.
Yes.
Maybe her own inabilities, her own timidity, but she knew because she had faith. She was faced up to overflow.
Yes.
that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, Ooh. She knew that she would be healed. And then when the Lord confirmed to her, daughter, your faith has made you well.
Right.
And he knew. He knew yeah. that was going. I mean, he knew in you know, he didn't maybe. I'm sure he knew the exact time because he's God.
Right.
And the Lord told her, you're well.
You're well.
And, I mean, he knew that the power had left him. And he looked down and he goes, oh, there she is. You know
absolutely. Yes. And I love the fact that he says here, you took a risk of faith and now you're well. A risk of faith. What's that talking about, Megan? A risk of faith. When do we take risks of faith?
You know, we take risks of faith all the time.
Right.
And, you know, even for me, I took a risk of faith when I fell to my knees, when I surrendered to the Lord, when I found out about Grayson.
Right.
And that was a risk because yeah. I was laying my heart on the line in trusting the Lord to take care of me.
Yes.
And he'll do it every time, no matter the situation or the circumstance. You know, if you just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, he will heal you of whatever is ailing you. He is right there. You just have to reach out in faith and put your heart on the line.
What right. Amen. Verse 23, by now they had arrived at the house of the town official. This is where they were headed to begin with, right? And they pushed their way through the gossips. I like that in the Message Bible. Mm-hmm. Looking for a story and the neighbors bringing in casseroles. Love it. Jesus was abrupt. Clear out. This girl is dead. She's sleeping. They told him he didn't know what he was talking about. But when Jesus had gotten rid of the crowd, he went in, took the girl's hand, pulled her to her feet alive. The news was soon out and traveled throughout the region. Betty, talk to me about that.
Well, you know, in reading that, and you can look at that two ways. He was telling the hypocrites, he was telling the people who had no faith whatsoever, get out. You know, if you can't, it's like if you can't handle the truth, if you're sitting here gossiping and you want to see what's going on, get out. Because I think he wanted people around him that had the faith the size of a mustard seed. They had courage to stand and say, okay, Lord, come into my home. They invited him into his home, and he told him, get out, clear out. He wanted him out, you know, with all the casseroles and all the people standing around just gossiping and hoo-hawing all this. And he just told them, I'm sure he didn't do it politely. Again, it was one of those radical moves, clear out. When the Lord tells you clear out, you better clear out.
You know, and go ahead.
Look at what happened. Look
yeah.
at what happened.
Yeah.
Look at what happened. It was awesome. Amazing. A miracle.
A miracle. And look at what he says here. Clear out. This girl isn't dead. She's sleeping, which was totally contradictory to what they knew to be true. Mm-hmm. But Jesus knew a higher truth. He knew a deeper truth. He knew that he had the power to touch her and raise her up.
Amen.
And, you know, it's all about what Jesus can do in our lives. You've heard me say this before, people. I have a pet peeve. I don't want God called the universe. You know, I have a hard time with that. I want God called Almighty God, who he is. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. I want him known for who he is and what he does in our lives, not the universe. And, you know, here we have Jesus, the Son of God, who comes and shows us the Father by his actions here on earth. It's all about who Jesus is. Let's do this song, and then I want to talk to all three of you more about that concept in just a minute. This song is Jesus Is by Jackie Velasquez.
I can't believe you're always there.
You hear my
Jesus is to us. He's all that I believe. He's every breath I breathe. That's what Jesus is. Ah, love that song. Haven't heard it for a while. Nan, what do you have?
I have a poem. I will help you with your ministry. It's interesting how this poem goes. I will help you with your ministry. I see through all the stuff that you hide behind. I will help you to be totally made whole. Trust me, look to me with an eager heart, for I am the true lover of your soul. I see right where you are now and will help you to see what I see, a wonderful, loving, caring person who desires to move forward in ministry. So I'm here to help you through all things and will empower you in your work for me. So step out right now into what you're to do. You will have a great impact through your ministry.
Oh, my. That's great.
I normally don't comment on the poems when I'm not on the show, but, you know, it's as if there's, like, people. I mean, I could just see people. They're hiding behind.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have done this. I was that. I have done this. I was that. You know, hiding. And that's a trick of Satan.
Right.
To make you look at, well, where did you come from? Well, God saved you. Jesus saved you from where you came from.
Right.
And to move forward. And like we said earlier, everyone has a ministry.
Yes.
Something to do for God. Don't hide behind what you used to do or
right.
what you're doing now. Ask
right.
God to forgive you. Move forward. If you've got ministry where you are, He wants you to make an impact right where you are. Pastor, you can't impact where these people are because you're not in their sphere. You're not in their
right.
world. You're impacting them. They're part of your sphere. But then God can use them to move into the impact of their sphere.
That's exactly right. Wow. Wow. Megan, talk to us about all of that.
Woo.
Woo.
Jesus is.
You go, man.
Yeah.
I love the way that the Holy Spirit just ministers through these shows because, you know, if you've been in a circumstance and the Lord has brought you out, you can use that as a stepping stone to teach and help other people. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
You may not think of it as a ministry, but for me, for what I've been through, losing a child,
right,
is, you know, I have met many people through that circumstance, and, you know, I don't know if I've ministered to them or not, but I hope that I have,
right,
through the faith that I've shown through what we went through.
Absolutely.
But that's where, no matter where you come from, is you can move forward in the Lord.
Absolutely.
He will bring you out of it.
Amen. Amen. And it's all about who Jesus is for each of us, you know? It's not about some New Age theory. It's not about the universe. It's about who is Jesus for you, dear listener. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your healer? Is he your safety, your security, your deliverer? Who is Jesus? Jesus is. Betty, talk to us about that as we go down to verse 27 in Matthew 9 in a moment.
Well, Jesus is who he says he is, and everything that he says is true. He's my voice of truth. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer, as you talked about, you know, the many names of God. And one of the things that I learned a long time ago is that Jesus is who he says he is. What he says he will do, he will do. And that his word is true, and that the Bible is the infallible word of God. And
amen.
There are so many things that Jesus is,
right?
But he's my best friend.
Yes,
he's my,
yes,
my comforter.
Woo!
He,
yeah,
is my provider.
Amen.
Is everything to me?
Yes.
Of what I want him. He comes into my life. He came into my life in 1985, and I made a total reverse change.
Yeah.
It wasn't ongoing change. And he's always working. You know, Jesus is not through with us yet.
Right.
He's still working in us. We're still the potter's clay that he wants to mold and to make us who he knows that we can be. Everyone that is created has a purpose. And even with Nan's point is that there is a ministry out there that is waiting to be filled. And most likely the person he's talking to is you. Could be talking to me, could
right.
be talking to the pastor, could be talking to Nan, Megan, or whoever's listening now or later on, that God has a ministry for you. And that purpose may be just talking to someone on the phone, picking up, you know, you can ask people how they're doing, be part of a ministry of a church, or you can even have your own ministry of maybe sending people cards that you know friends who are ill or whatever. It can be done in your own home. It could be done out, you know, in the community that you live in. It could be overseas. It could be
right.
like you went to Mexico. Everyone has a ministry. If they would just have enough faith and enough courage to step outside of their comfort zone and step into the realm of where God wants us to be.
Well, absolutely. You know, when we get so preoccupied with everything that is our lives, and we kind of shut our eyes to the needs around us, it's hard for us to be that Jesus is to all those that we run into. But when we can really just let go of those things that would bind us up and keep us from being everything he wants us to be, you know, we can put a blind eye to the needs around us. We certainly can. But let's look at what Jesus did here in Matthew 9:27. As Jesus left that house, that's the house where the little girl he raised from the dead, he was followed by two blind men crying out, "Mercy, Son of David, mercy on us." Interesting that that's what they were crying out. They weren't crying out, "Religious spirit, judgment, criticism." No, they were wanting mercy. When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. I mean, they were really following him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe that I can do this?" They said, "Why, yes, Master." He touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. It happened. Mm. They saw. Then Jesus became very stern. Don't tell a soul. They were hardly out the door, though, before they started telling everybody. Oh, Megan, I love this. Yeah, I mean, that's human nature. You know, something great happens, we're going to tell everybody, probably.
Absolutely. We can't keep our mouth shut.
No, we can't. And Jesus knew that. It's kind of like he was, you know, like egging them on, you know. Hey, by the way, don't tell anybody. Yeah, sure.
Yes. You know, that is, you know, to realize, you know, even back then, that he could touch them and they could be healed. And they were chasing him down. They weren't going to let him get away.
Well, look at that. And they followed him all the way to his house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they wanted to claim their healing. And, you know, they were courageous about it. And they went forth and they said, you know, mercy on us, Lord. And he healed them. And we need to be that way. You know, if we need healing, ask for it. We don't have to beg. We just have to ask, and we have to have faith that we're going to be healed.
Amen.
And, you know, it's nothing to, you know, we don't have to be radical. We just have to claim it, and we have
right.
to ask. And, you know, we have to ask with faith in our hearts. And it shall be granted unto us.
And what comes out of our mouth is so important, because Jesus puts them to the test. Do you really believe I can do this? And they said, well, we're not sure. You know, after all, we've been following you, and you know, you haven't turned around and healed us yet. So evidently, we're just not sure. Did they say that? No. No.
No.
They said, why, yes, Master. You know, and I think they said it like that emphatically. Yes. Master. Graham Cook says this, and I've written this in my Bible right by this verse a long time ago. The truth that sets us free is always rooted in proclamation. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, let me think on that a minute.
The truth that sets us free is always rooted in proclamation.
And I think it's what we speak. What you speak of, what you feel in your heart, faith can cause that proclamation to come to pass. It's amazing to me how some people are, oh, I don't know if I can make it to church today because I just got so much to do. The house needs this. And it's
yeah.
like, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
Back up here a minute and let's proclaim.
Right.
That when I walk through this door of this church or I walk out into the world today, that I'm going to make a difference.
Right.
And that I'm going to be a soldier for Christ. I'm going to be a warrior. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be everything that he wants me to be.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that's a proclamation that we need to say daily. Lord, or Lord, use me.
Amen.
Lord, send me.
Yes.
And be all that he wants you to be. And it could take just so much as the name of, just mentioning the name of Jesus.
Right.
Can change situations and turn them around.
You know, last Sunday night, I waited on God for a few weeks, actually, before I went to Mexico for the sermon I was supposed to preach last week. And it turned out it was 2 Samuel 5, 1 to 20, where David is made king finally after Saul had tried to kill him 21 times. And he finally is king, and he became king at age 30, which is a type of Jesus starting his ministry at 30. And the sermon was 3 points, amar, morar, y declarar. And what that means is amar, love God with all your heart. Love him. Get acquainted with his word. Get it down on the inside of you. Morar means settle, dwell, settle down in the presence of God. Run to his stronghold, which is his word, and hang out there. And then the third point was declarar, which means to declare victory. It is this thing of proclaiming. And David declared that he was victorious over the enemy here in 2 Samuel 5. And he named God the Lord of the breakthrough. And that's, isn't that good stuff? Amar, morar, declarar. And I love what Graham Cook says here. The truth that sets us free is always rooted in proclamation. What you believe about your situation is what's going to happen. You know, what you say with your mouth. These blind guys believe they would be healed. Megan, talk to me about that.
Well, it's true, because if you are positive, then you will have a positive outlook. If you are courageous in the Lord, you are going to be courageous. If you claim that I'm going to start ministering in whatever ministry the Lord has set forth for me, and you ask, you shall be given it. And, you know, that's why when we can speak life or death with our tongue. And just as those blind gentlemen, they wanted life. They wanted sight. They wanted to be able to see. So they spoke, Lord, heal me. I want your mercy. And they were healed, and they were able to see.
Amen.
And they were blessed. They got their socks blessed off of them. I mean, I can't even imagine. You know, from being blind and being able to suddenly see by one touch.
Oh, my. Wow.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and that's all it takes for us, Pastor, is to be of that mindset of, you know, I'm healed. The Lord is going to heal me. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to pray every day for that healing, and I'm going to claim it. I'm going to stand on top of this mountain, and I'm going to claim it and proclaim it. And it's going to be set forth into my path.
Woo! Amen. That's that declaring, that declarar. I love verse 29. He touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. Talk to me about that, Betty. Become what you believe. That's a process.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes it doesn't come immediately. Sometimes it takes days, months. Sometimes, Pastor, you even see it maybe not come to pass for years. But one of the things that I believe, and I believe that you believe, is that once you make that proclamation, is the praise of thanking God, not just asking, but thanking Him for the answer. And I think a lot of times we forget to do that. We do all of the talking, but we never take the time to listen. And can't understand, okay, Lord, what's going on here? Well, pray, read, praise. Do what you can to get as close to the Lord as you can. And have your mind set on something positive. Set a goal for yourself. We've learned this through your talk show on Thursday night. Set a goal. Set a goal for yourself to say, proclaim that, okay, I'm going to start in children's ministry maybe in March. And set it, proclaim it, declare it, and see that it doesn't come to pass. Right. Because that's where faith plays a big part of increasing in your heart.
Right.
Increasing so that you ooze faith. I mean, that's kind of gross. But you do.
Yeah.
You ooze faith. You talk faith. You see faith in action. Everything that you do should bring glory to God.
Oh, amen.
Sometimes it is hard to do, because we have a devil that does not want to see us proclaim that much
right.
faith and be faithed up to overflowing.
No, he doesn't.
And those people that came to Jesus, I feel, were, I mean, they had their blood was boiling enough to say, Lord, Lord, it's me.
Right.
Master, or do you believe? Oh, yes, Master. Because I think they were so overcome by his presence.
Yeah.
But then more so overcome that just one touch
right.
from the Master healed them. And it's so hard to believe, to see, you know, this happening back in biblical times, but people, it's available to us now.
Oh, amen.
If we have the faith and believe.
And this applies to us. Become what you believe.
Yes.
You know, people can say, oh, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he healed people when he walked this earth. Well, does that apply to you? Become what you believe. You know,
amen.
If it applies to you, then declare it, proclaim it, live it. you know, and in verse 32, right after that, as the blind men were leaving, a man who had been struck speechless by an evil spirit was brought to Jesus. As soon as Jesus threw the evil, tormenting spirit out, the man talked away just as if he'd been talking all his life. The people were up on their feet applauding. There's never been anything like this in Israel. Well, we're going to talk about that in the last few verses of chapter 9 of Matthew in just a moment. This song is Let It Rain by Jesus Culture, and that's what we need. We need the rain of the Holy Spirit to permeate every one of us so we can become as faithed up to overflowing as possible.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floor.
Praise God, open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain on us, dear Heavenly Father. Ah, praise God. Nan, what do you have? And then we'll get back to Betty and Megan.
I have. I will reign in your life and make things anew. I love you so very much. I have so much for you to do. Right now, just sit still and listen to what I say. You will read it in my word, and you will hear it when you pray. I will engulf you with my love, so sit back while resting in me. I am here for you, always have been. Of this simple fact, you need to believe. I will reign in your life, precious one. You will see me in things I do. I love you with all of my heart and truly do care so much for you. I will reign in your life, fill the freshness.
Oh, that's great. Woo, that's what he wants to be doing in each of us, and so that we can give out of that reigning of his spirit on us. Talk to me about that, Betty, and then Megan. Ah, good stuff.
Well, I think it's kind of rejuvenation.
Yeah.
It's kind of invigoration, mm-hmm. that when the rain comes and it washes over us, it gives us a new perspective.
Yes.
It gives us a new outcome of what God can do in our lives.
Right.
And one of the things that when you look at rain, which we're supposed to get this afternoon or in the morning, is that when it rains, that it refreshes in the spring. It brings back life, the rain that comes. But that's what the Lord does when he rains over us. When the windows of heaven open up, it's like it refreshes our soul. It gives us more reason to praise him. It gives us the inclination to want to seek him more and what he has for us, and to become all that he wants us to be.
Oh, amen. Amen. And that reign of his spirit, it can take these truths that we've been talking about today and light a fire. It's like amazing what happens on the inside of us when we catch these concepts and we realize this is truth. Megan, talk to us.
Oh, you know, and when I want it to rain, I want it to pour on me, because I want to be so on fire that I want to be able to walk around and have that compassion outpour from me. Because, you know, we're in a world of a lot of people are hurting, and we need to spread that rain. We need to spread that love. And it's just that fire that you talk about, Pastor. It's a fire that actually will make your skin, like right now, this whole show, my skin has felt like I'm sunburned. And it's that ignition in our spirit.
Amen. Yes.
Of the Holy One.
Yes, it is.
That, you know, that drives us forward.
Right.
Will keep us on our feet through whatever storm that we are faced. It's that fire that I pray that so many people would want to seek out and feel, because it's like a beautiful wind that just brushes over your skin.
Oh,
words beautiful.
You know, it's when, like, we've been studying Matthew 9 today, and when you take every one of these circumstances that Jesus was in, mm-hmm. what was he doing? He was showing mercy. He was showing God's love and compassion. He was healing. He never once said, well, you know what? You deserve this because you did this or that, or you're an adulterer, or, you know, you did this or whatever. Jesus never, in any of these stories in Matthew 9, heaps condemnation. Betty, talk to us about that.
Well, I think that when you do things in love, there is no condemnation. When you do things out of compassion and you do things that the Lord wants you to do, there is no judgmental spirits whatsoever. Is that you're seeking his will, you're seeking his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. And the whole purpose, Jesus never complained once about he was tired or whatever. He kept on because the Father gave him the power to go on. He gave him the strength. I think he encouraged him. And by doing things out of compassion, it's like a meter. Is you may be low on fuel or you may be low on faith, but when you start working in the Spirit, or you start working out of compassion, you start doing things that the Lord wants you to, your meter increases, your faith increases. So the more that you do, the more that your faith meter goes up. And there comes a time
Amen.
In your life when what we're talking about today is being faithed up to overflowing.
Yes.
that's when you reach a peak in your life and you think, oh, Lord, I want more of you.
Right.
I want you to fill me to overflowing.
Amen.
I want to be able to do more, not less, but I want to do more so that I can advance your kingdom for you, so that you will receive all of the glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen. And sometimes he takes us out of our comfort zone, dear friends.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago when I boarded a plane and went to Mexico and not knowing exactly what it was all going to entail, but knowing that God was sending me, there was no doubt in my mind. I know it now more than ever, having gone through those 2 weeks and ministering and being a part of people's lives and walking the streets of Puebla and interacting with people and taking pictures and just having such a good time being a part of a totally different culture, but at the same time, not necessarily preaching on the street corner. I didn't do that, but interacting with people, showing them God's love, caring about them. I don't know if any of you, Megan or Betty or Nan, remember a picture of a lady that was cooking on the corner. She was, I said, can I take your, I always ask them, can I take your picture? Oh, no, no, no. Please let me take your picture. And it got funny. And she just throws her head back laughing. Yes, you can take my picture. And I mean, we just had a fun little moment right there where, you know, it was just God loving her through me and her just receiving that and being so excited to just, you know, just to be loved and accepted, you know, just the way she was. It just well, cute.
I think, you know, when you were down there, you know, and the pictures resembled that there was a common denominator.
Really?
Between a lot of the people that you had pictures with.
Okay.
It was the love of Christ.
Yeah.
The love of Christ shone on a lot of those people's faces that we saw pictures of.
Yeah.
And and when Christ is the common denominator.
Oh, yeah.
The center, or he's the nucleus of your life.
Right.
It you elude faith. You
yeah.
elude such emotion that you can see it on your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with the pictures of the people there, even the lady with the broom.
Yes, the Atlanta Braves fan. Own,
you could tell something. There was just something there that drew her to you.
Yeah,
and, or the young couple.
Yeah,
I mean, that brought me to tears, and we're still praying for them.
Yes,
that they will seek everything that God has for
yes,
them.
Yes.
But it was just amazing to see that common denominator. Even on the radio broadcast that was live stream,
right.
You could see the passion.
Yeah.
The passion for Christ. The
right.
passion to get the word out of what God, what the Lord wanted them to say
right.
so that he will receive all of the glory.
Oh, amen. And so that's what we're talking about here. When we're faithed up, you know, a couple years ago, God gave us a new slogan, and it is going outside our walls to reach people where they are, just as they are, with God's love. And really, that's what Jesus did. He went outside of his norm. He did not stay in his comfortable little house by the sea. He walked out, and he got with the people, and he took risks. And even though he knew he would be criticized, Megan, talk about that. We're winding down here, so give me your kind of your final thoughts, both of you here.
Absolutely. You know, our ministry as Children of the King is not behind four walls of a church.
Right.
I mean, it is, but it's also in our daily walk. And it's through the relationships that we have with people on this earth is, you know, we need to reach out to them and we need to show them that mercy and that love and that grace. And we need to stop the hypocritical behaviors. And the I am holier than thou behaviors. We need to become more Christ-like. And I just pray that those who have heard this radio broadcast today, that you want to reach out and seek a new walk with the Lord.
Amen.
You want to be renewed today.
Right.
That with this change in the weather that's coming, just up here in our area, I can't speak for everyone, but that it will wash away the old and it will bring out and new light from you.
Amen. Amen. I agree. I agree. Fantastic. Betty, you want to make some comments here, and then we'll get to Nan here for her comment.
Sure. You know, you can't shut me up.
No, can't shut you up.
No, can't shut me up. One of the things that I've seen through all of this today is that, you know, the more that we trust in the Lord, the easier it gets.
Yeah, really, that's true.
The more that we seek Him, the more we become like Him.
Mm-hmm.
The more that we can minister to people, the more we read the Word, the more it becomes alive in us.
Right.
The more that we seek His kingdom, all of these things shall be added unto us.
Right.
And it's just, it's so wonderful to know that God is who He says He is, and He is forever present with us.
Amen.
And I praise God for the ability to be able to be on the radio and to be able to share God's word with those today and for those who will listen in the future.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes, amen. Thank you, mother-daughter team up there in Indiana. Betty and Megan, you guys are always such a blessing. And Megan, your little miracle, I heard her on the phone, a little while ago. Even you have Andrew, who's 5, almost 6, right? Or is he 6 now? He's 6, isn't he?
He's 6 already.
Right, he's a big man.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, and then Grayson, who's in heaven, but little Zoe Grace is coming right along. How old is Zoe Grace now?
She's going to be 11 months old.
I know.
In 5 days, and it's crazy how fast time goes.
Yes. But look at that, the miracle of little Zoe Grace after. So, Nan, do you have a comment? Betty and Megan, thank you so much, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Okay. We're talking about being courageous earlier, and God gave me a poem at that time. Do you have the courage? Do you have the courage this day to move forward in what I've asked you to do? I will be with you, and you will be fine through this door you need to walk through. If you have the faith to believe me, things will be turned around for you. I am with you and will heal you, child. That is what I'm here to do. Step out. Take that step right now. I am calling you into a new season. You will understand as you trust. For this calling, there is a reason.
Oh, boy, that sums it up, doesn't it? Let's be courageous,
Amen.
People. Let's step out into everything God has for us. And we urge you to go to our website, bohmglobal.com, www.bohmglobal.com. Find out more about the Ministry of Beacon of Hope. We are in our 15th year and 9th year on this radio show every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern. You can hear both our Go Yard, which is our Thursday night life coaching show, and this show every Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, for this show, Living the Good Life, on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, 12 noon on each Saturday and Sunday for our Go Yard show. Excellent opportunity to hear them again. Go to our websites also to catch shows you've missed. Again, for Living the Good Life, the website, bohmglobal.com. And for Go Yard, the website is goyard2014.org, O-R-G. It's not far to Jesus. God bless you all. Here we go. This has been Pastor Marcia, Betty, Megan, and Nan bringing you Living the Good Life this day. See you next week.
Ball. I know I'm to blame. Well, ain't it a shame? Baylor, won't you please come? Baylor, won't you please come? Baylor, won't you please come? Baylor,